Hello, everyone. I am James Dean Mixes from the Mixing Music Podcast, member exclusive episodes, where every week DK and I break down the technical side of mixing, mastering, and music production. With the normal weekly episodes, you get to hear DK and Lou talk about the more philosophical side of the music industry. On the member exclusive episodes, DK and I get more into the nitty-gritty technical side of things. We sometimes do mix breakdowns, we break down technical tips, and sometimes we share things that couldn't be shared on the normal public episodes. And we release two of these episodes every week. So for $3.99 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. So go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com or click on the link in the description to subscribe now. So without further ado, here's an episode from the vault. Welcome to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, James Dean Mixes, here with you. And here today with us, the lovely, the wonderful, Daddy DK. Welcome to the show, Daddy D.
Hello.
Yes, we have a clip coming up. It is from, oh my goodness, I am completely spacing on the mastering engineer's name. It is...
Oh, it's the coffee guy.
It's the...
We talked about him once with Braden. We have come to the conclusion that we like this guy.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's Panorama Mastering. That's a different guy.
No, well, we like also this guy. What's this guy? Did you find it?
Let me hear one sec. I'm going to have to walk away from my mic for a sec. Tell a quick joke.
All right. A quick joke, huh? Oh, I can't do on the spot jokes.
That's okay. I'm back. All right. Okay. I don't know his name, but the channel name is The Analog Guy.
All right.
Yeah, and he's really cool. He uses those Kali monitors for his mastering. He's very good at what he does, and I really like his channel. He's really good at explaining how, especially things like compression that are very hard to understand, work. Feel free to go check out his channel.
Wait, no, it's not that guy. Hold on. Anyway, play the clip.
Yeah. Without further ado, roll the clip.
So back to the pop quiz then. What's the most important control on a limiter and why? Well, tell me, what is a limiter? It's a compressor, except the ratio has been maxed out and ripped off the machine, and the attack has been minimized and ripped off the machine. The threshold is not really something you hear as much as it is an instruction to the computer, this is where I want you to start limiting. So that leaves us with only one control left, the most important control, the release time. Release can make a groove feel rushed, or dragged, or right in the pocket. My goal whenever I reach for a limiter is to dial in the release to optimize the pocket. But if you have transients that are hitting your limiter at different levels, your release time pocket gets thrown off. When I reach for a limiter, I'm specifically looking for 1 dB of limiter sound or 2 dB of limiter sound, no more, no less, exactly 2 dB of the limiter sound or 6 dB sometimes, you know, EDM it works. So even when I'm mastering entirely in the box, I keep the 3-zone principle in mind. I will put a clipper in place of an A to D converter before I use a limiter, and that clipper is going to catch all the weird and wild transients before the limiter does its consistent limiting. 1 decibel at a time, 2 decibels at a time, 0.5 dB of limiting, but a specific amount of limiting on every transient. This technique reinforces the pocket, and it creates that polished major label sound.
And we are back with now the name. His name is Will Borza. He is really good at what he does mastering wise. And in this clip, to kind of summarize, he says the most important setting to know on your limiter is the release time. And at least from how I understand how he explained it, is you want to do a bunch of things before you get to the limiter itself so that it is more creating like a steadiness of like -2 dB of gain reduction. And the release helps to kind of give the groove of the song if you want to kind of drag or go quicker. DK, what were your thoughts on this?
So I thought it was interesting that I've never watched this guy's video. I have never been trained by a mastering engineer, you know, which is typical within the realm of mastering up until relatively recently. It's been very, very normal. And I guess this is for mixing too, to intern and work for a well-known mastering engineer and then take on their position after they retire, kind of a situation. Like, I've never done that. I've never worked under another mastering engineer. But we've come to the similar conclusion. I find that really interesting. Specifically, he said, I like to clip to kind of get rid of the wild transients and then go into the limiter whatever. It makes sense about the limiting is ratio and attack time. It is a brick wall limiter. And then it's all about release. I feel the same way about the sound of limiting and about, you know, somewhere between 1 to 3 dBs of gain reduction is where I feel the most comfortable with as far as from a musicality standpoint. With at times the sound of a very much more compressed or limited signal being cool at times, but very rarely. The one thing that it's, it sounds like, to be fair, I think his use of the release time is a lot more thoughtful than I currently use it. So that's probably my takeaway is like, let me try to be thoughtful a few times and mess with the limit. I should mess with the release time a little bit more on a per song basis. I think that's my biggest takeaway. I think that's really interesting. I mean, it makes sense. All the ones that I have and use, all of the limiters that I use, the main ones that I use do have a variable release time. And I want to experiment this week what messing with that sounds like from the limiting perspective.
Yeah, I think a more recent, I guess, thing I've been noticing and focusing on the Masterbus is the release time on the compressors too and the limiters. And the way that he worded it is now like a way that I'm going to be looking out for it too, is like how it affects the groove of the song. Cause I have noticed that like even a small adjustment for the release can make a pretty big difference on like what's happening on the master bus.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what's going on. I haven't played with the release time on a limiter. I've done it a lot with like mixed bus compression, but I've never played with it that much on. I've just done like the fastest settings because I've just always done like the most transparent. Like I've been going for the most transparent, where he's talking about using the release in a more musical setting, which is something that I've thought about and considered while compressing, but not with the limiter. And I've heard it before, but I'm just realizing that I've never actually done that, I don't think. So something I'll be messing around with today, and then maybe on a future episode, we could talk about a conclusion. But that's the thing I'll be thinking about this week for sure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and something else to mention too when listening with limiters, at least you can let me know what you think on this. Is for me too, it does affect sometimes when distortion shows up when you're using a limiter. Sometimes instead of just easing up on the how much it's limiting, adjusting the release could get rid of the distortion as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of something to look out for.
I don't fully understand the science or the electronic signal path that causes this. But typically speaking, with very fast compressors, even any sort of very fast compression, fast attack and fast release does typically lead to distortion. So, I mean, we've talked about the 1176 trick where if you go like all buttons in and crank it and you do the fastest attack time and the fastest release time, it'll distort the signal. And then you can actually kind of blend this distortion by slowing down the release. So then the attack knob, like, so slowing down the attack knob or slowing down the release knob will actually ease off the distortion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah. Oh, even like the Distressor, the Nuke version, it has some weird algorithm with the release that makes it so it could have a fast release initially and then it slows it down and it like gets rid of the distortion somehow. Like, I don't fully get how that works, but like get the Nuke does something like that. Yeah,
that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. We are very grateful for each and every one of you. We love all of you very personally, and feel free to go check out the Mixing Music Podcast and recommend this podcast to your friends as well. And without further ado, DK, sign us off.
Yeah, my tip for this week, something that I've been thinking about is and been more aware of. I think too much, and this is my overthinking that I've been doing this week. Is I've always wondered why I look at reality a little bit differently, and it turns out I think that it comes back down to the golden rule in Western or Christian circles. The golden rule is to treat others the way that you would like to be treated. But where I come from in Japan, the golden rule is not to treat others with compassion. The golden rule is do not bother anybody. Do not be a nuisance. And when you're worried about not being a nuisance to anyone, I mean, that's part of the reason why Japan is so clean, and why potentially they're so introverted. And there's a lot of other nuance that can go with that, both little or a bad or good. But I think that there's, if we use a blend, like if you are wary of not being a nuisance to anybody, because that the problem with the golden rule in the Western understanding is that we are all equal, which is never the case. Someone to assume that someone is equal to you is entitled, because well, who's to say that they are not having a harder time than you, or they are, you know, or they are smarter than you, or they need more help than you. It's based on a little bit of a fallacy there. So whereas the do not be a bother to anybody is assuming that anybody at any given time might be having a harder time than you and might need more help than you. So that's why you stay out of their way and you try to help them. Again, that's just something that I was thinking about this week. I don't know, let that infect your brain. Just planting a little seed. I don't know really what the takeaway is. Don't be a bother. Don't be a nuisance. I think in business, we did an episode with Lou. Literally a release last week about how that affects business. And in the game, in the business with labels and with clients, being a nuisance is the fastest way to get fired. If you say yes, but, that's like the fastest way to get fired. So it's, you have to be careful with your boundaries. And we did an episode about that. So something to think about. Take that seriously. Anyway, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Hey you, yeah you, come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com.